Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey there, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. I'm Craig Israel, creative director at ThunderTech, and I'm joined with my co-host, Eric Krylo.
I am alive.
So we have an exciting topic today. We are going to talk about brands, which is something we talk about all the time in industry, but specifically we're going to talk about people as brands. The big question is, you know, Eric, what do you think? Can a person, an individual, be considered a brand?
Yeah, you know, I think a couple years ago, the answer to that question, you know, we would have had to think about it a lot longer. Because there certainly weren't many shining examples out there, or even examples in general. But over these past couple years, I think that we've seen that, yes, people can become brands. But I think there is a fine line between when that's appropriate and when it actually works. And you know, then there's also times when it can work to the detriment of the brand that person backs.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. There's clearly a difference between someone who's a public figure, just they're famous, be it President Obama or a musician or an actor, but they're not necessarily a brand, right? We can name a bunch of famous musicians and actors who everybody knows, they're known worldwide, but that they don't have that thing that makes them a brand. So we're going to spend a couple minutes here talking about what is that thing that separates someone from just being famous and everybody knows them to being an actual brand. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I would probably say I think the first, or you know, one of the things certainly would be that person has to have accomplished something before then, or be known well enough that they have an audience that exists already for them to actually pander to, or to even get the word out to.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think for me, the number one criteria for someone, for an individual being a brand, is do they stand for something other than what brought them to fame in the first place? Like, let's say Harrison Ford, famous actor, known worldwide, has many iconic roles, but I don't think of him as a brand because I don't think he stands for something greater than just being a great actor. But then you look at somebody like, let's say, Lance Armstrong, who rose to fame, obviously, as a very accomplished athlete in the Tour de France. But then, because of his continued winning, and I think more because of him having cancer and overcoming cancer and coming back to win the Tour de France again, like 12 more times, you know, he started to stand for something more than just being an athlete. He stood for perseverance and hard work and, you know, all those things that brought him to the public consciousness.
Sure. And, you know, obviously, drug scandal aside, it still, I don't think, takes away from what he was working towards and what he stood for, like you said, which is, you know, overcoming that type of, I guess, physical ailment. And even, you know, without that, just the training portion of that in general, I think, is something that he would have had to overcome. And I think helps build that sort of brand and helps establish him as someone who can speak out about that and someone that we take seriously when they do speak about things like that.
And when we talk about brands, you know, not necessarily people, but brands in general, you know, marketers talk a lot about how it connects with the consumer's lifestyle, how it inspires the consumer, or how it becomes an extension of their lifestyle. We were talking earlier, I'm wearing my Chuck Taylors today, and I like these shoes, not because they're the most comfortable shoes that I own, but because I like the brand. I like what they say. You know, I think Chucks stand for creativity, being a little outside the norm. They're a representation of people who are willing to take chances and don't feel like they have to conform to what other people think, you know, a shoe has to look like. And because of that, it's a great extension of me. And that's why I like the shoes. So I think that's another criteria as people as brands. I think that something about the individual has to inspire others, that there has to be some aspect where you can look at that person and say, I want to be like them, not just because they've accomplished something or they're famous or they're rich, but because there's something about their lifestyle that is attractive to me and I want my lifestyle to be like that.
Right, and I think that, you know, one of the examples that shines through, speaking specifically to that, would be Oprah. Obviously, me just having to say one name right. and have it associate not only with a media empire, but even the new Weight Watchers thing. I believe she just bought Weight Watchers. And, you know, as far as the extension of yourself, I think everyone at one point or another has had weight issues or even just personal appearance issues.
Yeah.
And I think because Oprah was so, you know, vocal about those and out there about that, I think people can really relate to that. And I think that that sort of is empowering, and it does allow people to sort of have that extension of themselves. So, you know, rather than trying to look within themselves purely to find that motivation, they can look elsewhere, and in this case, they can look towards Oprah in order to not only get that motivation, but feel as though they're a part of something.
Yeah, I agree. I think Oprah, you know, she's not a supermodel. She wasn't born to money. I think she stands for, you know, working hard and making your own destiny and really, you know, making yourself incredibly successful and famous and by extension rich through your hard work. So that's the Oprah brand really is about, you know, all of those things. And there's no doubt that she's inspiring, right? Weight Watchers aside, that she's inspired millions of people through her show, through her magazine, through her network, that, you know, she has all these touch points with her, with, well, I was going to say her consumers, but, you know, the people that, that are fans of Oprah, that she is, you know, without a doubt, a brand in my mind.
So, you know, in thinking about, you know, we mentioned before there being a fine line between what is or isn't a brand. Let's talk about someone like Jared Fogle, for instance. Obviously, that, you know, this is a hot button issue and something that over the past couple years has taken a turn for the worse. But let's just talk about him as a human being.
Yeah, Jared, of course, the former spokesperson for Subway sandwiches, who was a real life inspiration story because he lost a bunch of weight using Subway sandwiches, but then was busted not so long ago for child porn, right?
Something along those lines. It certainly wasn't good. That's
something
for sure.
Unsavory, yes.
So do you think that, you know, someone like him, it was clear that he became a spokesperson, but he never became a brand. The Subway brand was something that always sort of stood above him.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Jared stood for weight loss. He stood for healthy eating. But he never really took off as his own brand. Do you think that's because people couldn't connect with him the way that they could with Oprah? Or do you think it was just because Subway had already been somewhat established that there was no way he could overtake that brand?
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between a spokesperson or a celebrity who's representing a brand and the brand itself. That, because we've certainly seen many, many celebrity spokespeople. You know, Jared wasn't a celebrity spokesperson. He was just a guy who became a celebrity because of his association with Subway. But you're right. I don't think he was ever a brand unto himself. And probably the most telling aspect of that is that when the scandal hit, Subway could cut ties with him, and the Subway brand is still prominent, strong, and, you know, nobody's talking about Gerald unless it's, you know, where he's being sentenced today.
Right, or how many times he got beat up last week.
So in comparison to celebrity spokespeople, there are people like Jay-Z or Kanye who are definitely, you know, they are the face of their empire. Strong brands unto themselves, but way more than just a spokesperson.
Right, and I think, you know, both of those would be great examples because you can refer to those, you know, those folks by their first names, and you know pretty much what they do. You know, Jay-Z has his own management team, obviously a record company, a record label, I should say, had a clothing line for a while, and it's certainly something that you can look at and say, you know, one of the first I guess moguls, if you will, in that industry. And then you have Kanye, who sort of came in and said, okay, there are moguls that exist in this industry, but what I don't see is a lot of creativity and a lot of artists standing on their own and not being afraid to do things a little bit differently and a little bit out of the norm. And I think as much guff, if guff's a word, my grandfather's probably out there telling me not to give him guff, but I feel like with Kanye, He gets a bad rap, but one thing that he's always done is be himself and sort of express how his individuality has contributed to his artwork. And I think that that's you know, appreciated by a lot of folks. And I think that that helps him, you know, stand alone as a brand, because obviously you don't know what record label he signed to. All of his whether it be his shoes or his clothing line, those have his name attached to them. It's certainly not something that he's hiding behind an umbrella brand for.
Right.
And I think with him, you know, it begs the question, when you take on or when you turn yourself into a brand or you yourself become a brand, how much are your day-to-day activities scrutinized more because of what you've become?
Hmm. So I found an interesting quote from Jay-Z when I was researching the show, and he had said at one point, "My brands are an extension of me. They're close to me. It's not like running GM where there's no emotional attachment." So what Jay-Z is saying is that, you know, his empire that he's building is made up of brands that he cares about, that are important to him, you know, be it clothing lines or sports teams or, you know, everything else that he's done. And I think that, you know, there's no denying, guy's super smart, right? He has built this empire. And I think in part why he's been so successful is that everything that he extends into, he knows because it's important to him, it's going to be important to his fans. So every time he's building, you know, expanding that empire, he has a built-in audience of people who are going to go right to the new fragrance or clothing line or sports team or whatever he's building.
And he knew that, you know, one of his more popular songs a couple years ago, he said, "I'm not a businessman, I'm a business, comma, man." Now, obviously, he didn't say the comma in there, but he knew it. He knew that it was bigger than him, and it was something that if he grasped, people would look at him as those brands, and I think that he's okay with that.
Yeah, I think here another interesting person's brand is Kim Kardashian.
Now,
who? you can loathe Kim Kardashian, but I don't think you can ignore her. Right, that she, for good or bad, has built herself into a really powerful brand. That, you know, she originally was just a celebutante, famous for being famous, but like all these other brands, she began to stand for something, you know, broader than what, you know, originally brought her to fame. I mean, you could argue what originally brought her to fame was a sex tape, and so she had nowhere to go but up. But now she stands for, I think, high fashion, beauty, and her fans are rabid fans, and I think she inspires people. You can look at her and aspire to marry someone like Kanye West, right? Aspire to be famous and wealthy and powerful just because of the way you look, again, for good or bad.
Sure, and you know, I think what they've, you know, and I try not to give the Kardashians too much credit ever, but I think one of the things that they have done well is sort of transitioning the whole, you know, sex tape and how Kim became famous into more of a fashion perspective and, you know, high fashion. And I think that they've done that by not only associating her with folks in the fashion industry, Anna Wintour, you know, having photos taken with those two together, Karl Lagerfeld. I think having those people around her sort of legitimizes that aspect of her brand as being this high fashion and being this, you know, fancy, upscale sort of lifestyle. And even though not everyone can relate to that, I think, to your point, people can aspire to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps them connect.
So one of the more interesting people's brands that's happening in our country right now is Donald Trump, right? Guy started out as a real estate developer, but quickly began to stand for something more. I mean, I would argue that he stood for lavish excess, but love him or hate him, you, again, can't deny him that his empire is all over the place, right? Real estate aside, there's wrestling and reality shows, and now, of course, he's running and leading the nomination for President of the United States. It's amazing how one man, through the power of his brand, has gone from, you know, a simple guy who built buildings to very possibly the next president of the United States.
So what's interesting about that, and I guess I never really thought of this until I heard you explaining this, but when you as a brand become bigger than any of the businesses underneath of your brand, so Trump Steaks, for instance, I think no one really knew about those until it came up in a press conference or whatever that was a couple weeks ago.
Right.
But, you know, whether it's a magazine, Trump Wine, Trump Watches,
Trump University,
Trump Contraceptives, whatever the case may be, do you think that you can become so big that it doesn't matter what businesses you run or in terms of if they succeed or if they don't succeed, because it can always be Trump something else?
Yeah, I think so. And Donald Trump's the poster child of that. It doesn't matter, clearly, that the man has gone bankrupt, that the man has had more failed businesses than successful businesses. His brand, the public-facing brand, is so powerful that people see past that. And even when reminded that, hey, you know, Trump Steaks isn't a thing anymore because it went belly up, people don't care that the brand resonates so strongly with them that they're all in and they're not going to be dissuaded elsewise.
Yeah, so I think, you know, another interesting one, and we'll take it a little bit deeper into the South for this one, would be the Duck Dynasty guys.
Yeah.
Understanding that Duck Dynasty is the name of the show and not their actual business,
mm-hmm.
But these guys have sort of become their own brand in a way, and they're associated to that brand by not only, I think, their beards being number one and the way that they dress,
yep.
But I think the bigger piece into something you mentioned much, much earlier about sort of what differentiates someone or helps them stand out, I think it's their beliefs and their willingness to stick to those, even though they might not always be the most popular,
right.
Or even realistic, for that matter. How do you view them in terms of this big picture of being a brand?
Yeah, so it's interesting that, again, on the surface, they're, you love them or hate them, they're an American success story, right? They're a bunch of guys who created a duck call and became millionaires because of it, and then were able to parlay that success into this super popular reality show, which gave them another platform upon which to further expand their brand. And I think it's clear that they're connecting with people. There's, you know, I'm full disclosure, I'm not a fan of the show. I don't watch, but there's a huge segment of the country that does. And there's something about what they're doing, either be it their lifestyles or their beliefs or just their willingness to talk crazy on a reality show that connects with people. And because of that, they stand for something bigger than just, you know, guys in the South that make duck calls, and they inspire others to connect with their brand, that people who want to be like them.
Yeah. So I think, you know, to sort of, I guess, maybe wrap up, maybe not even so much wrap it up, but I don't know if there is a real right or wrong answer when it comes to, can a person actually be a brand, or can mm-hmm. a group of people become a brand? You know, based on the research that we did before this, the opinions are mixed. And I think that that's really what it is. It's a matter of opinion, and it's a matter of sort of how you look at it. So if you were, let's just say, Craig, you were in the arena thinking that you may become a brand, mm-hmm. what do you think would dissuade you from doing so?
So I think you have to be very careful if you want to be the face of your empire, right? That if you make a major stumble, that it could impact your entire empire, right? Bring the whole thing down. I was trying to find some good examples, and I guess the closest thing we have is Lance Armstrong, right? He was the public-facing part of Livestrong, and then when the doping scandal broke, and he took a lot of bad press, he was stripped of his titles. It really hit the Livestrong brand hard. Now, they immediately disassociated themselves with Lance Armstrong, and they were fortunate in the sense that it was the Livestrong Foundation, it wasn't the Lance Armstrong Foundation, so they didn't have to rebrand themselves and come back to market as a different entity, but they were able to say, I remember reading press releases at the time, is that they immediately said, you know, Livestrong has always been about more than one person. So Livestrong isn't just about Lance Armstrong, it's about all these other, you know, people and good works that we do. But there's no doubt that it was a major blow to them, and I don't know if the Livestrong brand will ever have the prominence that it once did, just because its singular figurehead fell so hard from a mighty, you know, the mighty perch that he used to be on.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I think in that particular case, what sets it apart from Subway is, you know, although Subway got backlash initially, it certainly isn't going to hurt their bottom line too much. Yeah. And it's because they've always sort of kept that healthy distance from, you know, from Jared in a way. Yeah. Although he was obviously the spokesperson and in a lot of commercials, he wasn't in every single commercial. And they started to sort of gravitate more towards athletes.
Right.
So almost hedging their bets in a way. And I think with Livestrong, it was so close to Lance Armstrong, and since it was also developed after he sort of rose to fame, if you will, I think that's not only really the difference, but something that all folks interested or at least thinking about doing something like that would keep in mind before they made that decision.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that if Kanye or Jay-Z starts to decline in popularity, the fan base starts to gravitate towards someone else, I think they're going to have a hard time rebranding themselves to become as relevant as they are again. You know, not it doesn't look like these guys in particular are going to, you know, lose fans anytime soon, but if they did, if they started to become less relevant or less popular, then how do you rebrand yourself, right? I mean, Kanye is Kanye. And if people don't want to hear your music anymore, or you want to take your music in an artistic direction that people aren't connecting with, then how do you do that, right? I think places like Subway or any other brand that's ever used a celebrity spokesperson has the leeway to say, okay, we're done with Jared, right? We still do what we do, but we don't need him anymore, or you know, we don't need her anymore. You know, we'll just move our brand in a different direction. Look at like Progressive Insurance. Let's say people finally get tired of Flo, they can just cut ties with Flo and come out with a new campaign. So to that end, to kind of wrap up on a fun note, as fun as celebrity missteps can be, is we found a list of top 10 celebrity spokespersons that went wrong. So starting at the bottom, number 10, Affleck using Gilbert Gottfried. You know, famously, he was the voice of the Affleck duck. But then in 2011, he made some off-color comments on Twitter, and then, you know, Affleck dropped him.
Yeah, well, do you remember what that was in light? Was it an earthquake? Is that
yeah,
I think that's
I,
what?
Since I'm looking at the list, it was earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and Gilbert Gottfried made some comments, supposed to be in jest, but obviously too soon after the disaster happened. People got offended, and that was it. He was out.
Was Gilbert Gottfried in Problem Child? Am I correct in thinking that?
I don't know if I've seen that.
Do you remember Problem Child?
He was, of course, the voice of the bird in Aladdin.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Iago? Problem list isn't, or Problem Child is not my
on your list. You don't have Problem Child or Problem Child 2 on Blu-ray?
Number 9, Ben Curtis. He was the dude you're getting a Dell guy for Dell Computers. So remember, this guy was always sort of stoned seeming, and he's like, dude, you're getting a Dell. He was busted, surprisingly, for drugs, and then Dell immediately dropped him. This is another example of a celebrity spokesman who wasn't intimately tied with the brand. I think Dell walked away from him, and really not a lot of damage done.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think people remember the commercial itself more than they do the brand that the commercial was promoting.
Right. Number 8 on the list, Paula Deen.
Racist.
This is really relevant because Paula Deen, unlike some of these other brands, was a brand unto herself. And so she did immeasurable damage to her own brand when I remember hearing about this story is that she was having a dinner party and she wanted like the African American staff to dress up as slaves or something. It was so horrible and inappropriate. But she had some brands that she was a spokesperson for at the time, like Smithfield Ham. And surprisingly, Smithfield Ham isn't really big on racism and dropped her quick.
And, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if brands that she represented are doing fine today. You know, I can't guarantee that, obviously, but I think in her situation is a lot like her situation is a little bit different because she wasn't as well known for those brands as much as she was well known just by her name.
By herself. I'd agree with that. Number 7 on the list, Vince, the ShamWow guy. Maybe my favorite infomercial ever. Not ShamWow, but Slap Chop. I wish I owned a Slap Chop. Love that commercial. I could watch the Slap Chop music remix again and again. But he was busted for soliciting prostitution, and you know, the brands dropped him. I don't know if ShamWow or Slap Chop really care who's pimping out their, bad choice of words, who is promoting their products.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to infomercials, they're going to be made fun of, I think, to a certain extent anyways. They're meant to be a little cheesy. So I think, you know, for a guy who ran a reverse Marv Albert and got bit by a hooker rather than doing the biting, I think that's just part of the infomercial world.
Agreed. Number six on the list is a big one, Bill Cosby. You know, strongly tied with Jell-O pudding pops. We all know what he's accused of doing and how the guy's radioactive and no brand is going to touch him with a 10-foot pole now. So needless to say, Jell-O and any other brands that he was shilling for want nothing to do with Bill Cosby.
Well, it says here that at some point he was a spokesperson for Texas Instruments. The only thing I remember or know about Texas Instruments was that I used to plug my math test answers into the calculator to get a better grade on the test. Am I the only one that did that, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I had a big clunky Texas Instrument calculator. My favorite thing to do is you could spell boobs on it.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you can do that on almost any calculator.
No, Texas Instrument was special. All right, moving on. Number five on the list, Michael Vick. You know, another example of a guy whose downfall, of course, he was convicted of dogfighting, of all things. And he was a spokesperson for Nike, Reebok, among some other brands that he instantly became radioactive to. And all these brands, you know, distances themselves from him. I would argue that his personal career took the biggest hit, his personal brand, way more than any of these other brands.
I would agree. You know, he was on the cover of, he's on the cover of Madden. He was doing incredible. Yeah. He was taking his team to the playoffs. But yeah, one misstep in his personal life. Now, to give him some credit, based on what he's done up to this point, or at least what we know about at this point, I think he's made some amends for those mistakes, and from what I understand, Nike even reinstated him.
Is that right?
Yeah, in 2011. I think their exact words were he had owned up to his past mistakes. So even something like that, I guess you can bounce back.
Rags to riches.
Yep.
number four on this list, O.J. Simpson and
Juice.
Hertz. So, I mean, O.J. Simpson was a big spokesperson for Hertz. I think this list is a bit skewed because Hertz was already not using O.J. Simpson by the time that he murdered, allegedly, you know, his wife and wronged Goldman. So I don't know if Hertz was even, you know, was even that strongly connected with him anymore, even though I'm sure every time the president of Hertz saw him on trial, he winced a little bit.
Sure.
Number three, Tiger Woods. Though Tiger Woods, again, famous fall from grace. As this webpage says, what went wrong? The reports of Woods' rigorous off-the-course game. I think that's funny. So he was spokesperson for Gatorade, Nike, AT&T, a couple other brands. So brands, you know, they distance themselves from him. But it seems like, I don't know, I'm not much of a sports guy. Are you a golf guy?
Not so much, but I think everyone at one point or another was a Tiger Woods guy or a Tiger Woods gal. I mean, he's certainly changed the way people look at golf as a
right.
sport. I think he brought a lot of folks to the table. I believe that he played a huge part in golf being a resurgence as a pastime in the country. But I think as we've seen, even the best fall down sometimes.
All right, number two on the list.
Was that a Creed song, maybe?
I believe it was. It's my favorite. Number two, Oscar Pistorius. I'm probably saying that wrong. So this is, I vaguely remember this story. This is a para-athlete, had below-the-knee amputations. He had this two of those flipper running things who murdered his wife or girlfriend, shot her to death. He was representing Nike. Again, I think he got the short end of the stick, and Nike didn't really take much of a hit. And finally, number one on this list is Lance Armstrong. We've already talked about how his fall from grace was pretty devastating to his own brand, for the Livestrong brand, but the brands that he was fronting, Nike, Trek, 24-Hour Fitness, I think these guys just retooled and moved forward with different creative.
Yep.
All right, so I think that wraps it up. People as brands, we would both agree that people can certainly be strong brands, but there's some dangers involved with it too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you have to say to yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth myself becoming a brand and all of that, all of what it entails? Or am I better off coming up with a fun and clever name and then building my brand up from there?
So that's it for Thundercast for this time. Just a reminder that we're putting together our mid-year trends books of emerging marketing trends right now. If there's something you're really dying to read about, let us know. You can tweet us at ThunderTech or always go to our website, thundertech.com, and contact us that way. And if you like this show, you can go to iTunes and subscribe or Stitcher or wherever it is you find your podcasts on the interweb. We'll talk to you next time.
ThunderTech.com/podcast.
Yeah, that too.